Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ online ministry.
This week's message is titled, The Lord Saves. Thank you to Amy, Janet, and Dawn for being part of the service. Thank you to Ellis and Lee for their voiceover help. The scripture reading is Isaiah 2, 1-5.
This is what Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. The mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths." The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord.
Morning, everyone. As we just witnessed, we can have a lot of fun at church. I do want to do something a little different today. I want to combine the book of Isaiah, which means the Lord saves, and Remembrance Day. And I'm going to try to put that all together as best I can. When it comes to Remembrance Day, there are so many things that can be said. I came across this article. "I am the sailor. Lived overseas. I fought for Canada, all to be free. I'm the soldier who stood proud and tall. I fought for peace and freedom for all. I'm the doctor who treated the brave. I helped those in need. Lives I tried to save. I am the nurse who tried not to cry as I watched good soldiers lie in bed and die. I am the pilot who fought for you. I flew for your freedom and those after you. I am the child that thinks of the sailor, soldier, nurse, pilot, and doctor. I think all that you've given me, and without you, I might not be. So every cold, gray, wet November, I think of you, and in a way, I can say, I remember. May we never forget." You can't see this little picture that I have in front of you. It's an old, old gentleman. After the war, his grandchild came up to him. The picture that I have is a tall man and his granddaughter, small. The grandfather is using a cane. The young girl is holding his hand. "Grandpa," she said, "if remembering war is so hard, why do you do it?" And he said, "Honey, because forgetting it is much harder. Never, never forget." That's why we gather. Some of us could memorize this over the years, but they're beautiful words written by John McCrae in Flanders Fields. In Flanders Fields, the poppies blow between the crosses, row on row, that mark our place. And in the sky, the larks, still bravely singing, fly, scarce heard among the guns below. We are the dead. Short days ago, we lived. We felt dawn. We saw the sunset glow. Loved and loved. And we were loved. But now, we live in Flanders Fields. So I say, take up your quarrel with the foe. To you, from failing hands, we throw the torch. Be yours to hold it high. If ye break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep, though poppies grow in Flanders Fields. Thoughts, a remembrance day. The torch has been passed to my generation, and I'm proud to belong to this peaceful nation. For the youth who enlisted and answered the call, and for those who came home, and for those who would fall. For the airmen that flew on the thundering breeze, for the sailors who battled the high crashing seas, for the soldiers who fought on the blood-soaked land, for those left home who all took a stand, for the mothers who lost a precious dear son, for the wives and the girlfriends who prayed through their tears, for that generation who are grandparents now, I will never forget. This is my vow. Your brave deeds won't die. I will always remember proudly wearing a poppy each 11th of November. It's interesting to notice that Canada is very much a peaceful nation, but almost 10% of Canada's entire population of 7 million people served in the armed forces during First World War, and nearly 60,000 of them perished. The great Allied victories of 1918 were spearheaded by Canadian troops. In World War II, more than 120 Canadian warships participated in the Normandy landings. Canada finished the war with the third largest navy and the fourth largest air force in the world. 1% of the world's population has provided 10% of the world's peacekeeping forces. Canadian soldiers in the past half century have been wonderful peacekeepers, and still today. In 39 missions on UN mandates and 6 on non-UN peacekeeping duties, from Vietnam to East Timor to Sinai to Borneo. And so, we remember. And we remember what Jesus said. Blessed are the peacemakers. They will be called sons of God. The book of Isaiah talks about how war will one day end. It hasn't yet. And Isaiah, years ago, said it will happen. Let me read to you this passage of scripture. In Isaiah chapter 2, I'll read these words. This is what Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. That in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple, as chief among the mountains, will be raised above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob. He'll teach us his ways so that we can walk in the paths of the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. and he will judge between the nations. He will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Listen to this. Nation will not take up sword against any nation, nor will they ever need to train for war any more. No more wars. It hasn't come to place yet, but it will. Has God ever promised something and backed away from it? Absolutely not. It's a promise. So Isaiah is a unique book. In many ways, it counters Revelation, pictures that we see, and we can't really explain what we're looking at, except it's a coming together of all nations together. In Revelation, the second last book in that scripture, in that Bible, talks about a new heaven and a new earth where all of us will be. Listen to what he says. This is what Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw back in Isaiah. The mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. People will stream to all these nations. Many peoples will come and say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of Jacob, so that we'll walk in his paths and understand his wisdom. And yet, in Isaiah, they tell us something unique. I think when I was in Bible college, I was reading this. It was in Isaiah chapter 4. And a really wonderful teacher, Foy Anderson, said, do you really know what this is about? And I said, well, I'm kind of thinking that what I'm going to read here in just a moment, I'm kind of thinking that it's just something really, really sensitive and beautiful. It's called the branch. The branch of the Lord. And in the Bible, the branch is Jesus. Before Jesus came into the world, the branch was always there. Where there's God, there's Jesus. And where there's Jesus, there's the Holy Spirit. And when there's God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, then there's people. That's us. Thousands of years, all coming together. And even before the New Testament, the branch is talked about. Let me read it. In that day, the branch of the Lord will be beautiful and glorious. And the fruit of the land will be the pride of that land. Nothing left but that of Zion, God's house. We'll be living in Jerusalem. The Lord will wash away all filth and sin from Jerusalem, a spirit of fire. Then Zion, and over those who assemble, we're seeing flaming fire by night over all the glory and shade from the heat of the day, a hiding place from the storm, because there will be no more storm, meaning war. So this is long before the New Testament begins. And as we look at this, we talk about it. Many of us remember Martin Luther King Jr. Isaiah was his favorite book. Anytime he was talking, he would be talking about these things. Profound, profound man. Someone took his life way too early, but what is remained is so wonderful. In the year of King Uzziah, I saw the Lord. Imagine. Imagine. It was Isaiah. God came to Isaiah, and somehow God spoke to him in this way, that in that year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. He was seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the entire temple. And then above him were two seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings, they covered their faces. With two, they were flying, and they were calling to one another. Imagine hearing these words. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. We must remember that. Even though when the world seems like it's falling apart, no. Has God ever made a promise and then backed away from it? Not a chance. Even though it was long before any of us here were born, it was a promise for then, for now, and for the future. Holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of God's glory. And then in chapter 7, he talks about Jesus, although that wasn't his name. In chapter 7, the sign of Emmanuel, Jesus himself. The house of the Lord was with David. And through all this book, there is this prophecy that has happened and that will yet happen. The Lord himself, listen to these words. It's not quite Christmas yet, but listen to what he says. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with a child and will give birth to a son, and he will call him, anybody remember? Emmanuel, Emmanuel. Precious, precious, precious. Emmanuel. The house of the Lord. These scriptures aren't just, you know, nice fluffy things. It's all very much a reality. And then he talks about, again, not quite close to Christmas, in chapter 9, nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. Because of this, the people walking in darkness will see a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation. You have increased their joy. They rejoice before you, and people rejoice at the harvest, dividing even the plunder. And then he says, and this is a promise that was spoken. For to us, a child is born. To us, help me, son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. One day, there will be no more wars, no more sorrows. One day, we will see his face, face to face. God has never made a promise and backed away from it. He's told us in this wonderful book. So next week, I'm just going to continue a little bit with it and go toward to the end of the book, which is really wonderful. I think that Isaiah, besides some of the New Testament books, are some of the profound scriptures in all of the Bible. Thank you.
Thanks for watching. Have a great day.
The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV. Copyright 2011 by Biblica, Inc. Used by permission, all rights reserved worldwide. Scripture quotations marked NASB, taken from the New American Standard Bible. Copyright 2020 by the Lockman Foundation. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Lockman.org. You can learn more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.